Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? And wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
It is Tuesday, June the 9th, 2015, and my name is S.M. Gibson, and this is Anti-Media Radio. We are here to provide you with an alternative to the corporate media's agenda. As always, I'm joined in the studio with Mr. Shannon Madden. How are you doing tonight, Shannon?
What's going on, y'all? Get this thing going, baby.
Okay, for anybody who wants to call into the show tonight before we get started, 718-717-8296. Again, the calling number is 718-717-8296. And don't forget to join us here on Anti-Media Radio 5 nights a week at www.ucy.tv/TAMR. All right, into the stats for the night, the statistics that the mainstream corporate media will not give you. We have had 502 Americans killed this year.
Wow, we broke 500, man.
Broke 500. 54 officers have died in the line of duty, and that includes 16 automobile accidents and 11 heart attacks. So that's 54 versus 502 deaths. You know, it's terrifying every time I hear those stats.
And unfortunately, we're probably going to be talking about a few of them tonight in better detail. I've got some new developments that have come up in the city of Cleveland with Tamir Rice. Michael Slager, the officer in South Carolina, North Charleston Police, has been indicted for the murder of Walter Scott. More of that needs to be happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of shootings and the great gun laws of Chicago that are working so fantastically well, 1,069 people have been shot in the city of Chicago in 2015.
The city of Chicago, where owning a gun is illegal.
Pretty much. But, you know, 182 homicides. 182 homicides, 1,069 people shot.
Wow.
Laws aren't working very well.
Nope.
And our good, great friends, the great allies of Saudi Arabia, have now beheaded 97 people so far this year. So, you know, we could be on pace when we talk to you again on Thursday night. They could have broken 100. Last year, they broke their own previous record. They broke it at 87. They broke last year's record, the all-time record in modern times, should I say. Broke that a couple weeks ago. And looks like they're going to 100. So, there's so much to talk about tonight. Before we get started, I just really want to talk about how I think Sean Hannity is a complete moron. Like, I don't even think he believes half the stuff he says. There's no way he can believe half the stuff. He's sitting here defending the girl in Texas and the cop in Texas. Well, he's not defending the girl. He's defending the cop.
Officer David Casebolt.
Yeah, and he's like, well, you know, she was causing a disturbance. He throws her head into the ground. He's throwing this girl around. He pulls his gun on these kids. There's absolutely no reason to pull the gun. You even see the two other officers come up, and the guy, like, shoes his hand down, and he's like, you need to, you can tell, like, he's motioning, because he puts it right back in after the other two cops come up to him.
Yeah, thank God somebody didn't get shot there. Somebody didn't lose their child.
Absolutely. And it's just, it's insane how, you know, a lot of people in the country, too, listen to Sean Hannity. And, like, as a valued source of information. And he's just like, well, he should have pulled his gun. You know?
Now, and bear in mind, let's not get swept up in the rhetoric on right and left and so on and so forth.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
First off, the kids that were assembling for this innocent pool party, it's a little bit less innocent than you think. Does it warrant anybody being picked up, somebody's child being picked up, a little small little teenage girl who's way smaller than the police officer, tossing her about?
No!
And bear in mind, if you haven't seen the video, which is everywhere right now, I mean, there's so many different sources you can watch it from, this Texas police officer, Officer Casebolt, is a one-man wrecking crew. I'm doing the barrel roll, and he's over here and over there, and whips the gun out and slamming the girl to the ground. I mean, it's just like, I mean, he's a one-man highlight reel.
Well, I don't know if you heard the statement from earlier today. His boss, the police chief, Greg Conley, made a statement about it. And what he said was, as the chief of police, I want to say to our community that the actions of Casebolt, as seen in the video, are indefensible. He came into the call out of control, and as the video shows, was out of control during the entire incident. 12 officers on the scene. 11 of them did exactly as we want them to do. And, of course, the one he's referring to is Casebolt, who has, I guess, officially resigned.
Officer Barrow.
Yeah.
For now and forever, we will refer to him as Officer Barrow.
But he is no longer a police officer.
Former Officer Barrow.
Yes, former Officer Barrow. We've also got, you know, a much, much, much worse situation. The Walter Scott shooting that happened in South Carolina was shot in the back. Michael Slager, he was indicted for murder and is up to face 25 years to life in prison.
Important thing to note here, too, if he is actually convicted of this crime, which I'm still trying to figure out how you could not convict him of this crime when you see the absolute damning video evidence. And it's not just the absolute murder, which is that there's no way you can justify it as anything other than out-and-out murder. Then he goes on to plant his taser at the scene on camera right behind the other responding officer's back. He was real sneaky, just kind of drops it there right next to his side. In his official report that came out later that he submitted to his police department, Walter Scott had stolen the taser from him and had ran off with the taser, trying to attack him with the taser. The video evidence shows absolutely none of that whatsoever, except for the fact that Michael Slager did attempt to plant the taser on him and completely fabricate the whole entire story, which we see more of every single day.
We do, and, you know, for the sake of justice, you know, you can't say, well, you know, the good news is, because there is no good news in a case like this.
Walter the only Scott, good news is that he is being indicted. That's still a hollow victory for the
family. It's a good news for justice. But at the same time, there's no good news in this case. A man lost his life.
Children lost their father.
Right. So it's not a situation where it's like, well, the good news is this guy's going to go to jail forever. You know, the good news would have been this never happened. But we unfortunately are in this position. And for the sake of justice, you know, we've all seen the video. This man needs to be behind bars because it was, you know, that was murder. He shot a man in the back repeatedly.
Fired 8 shots. 5 of them hit him in the back.
The thing that makes me nervous about it is Eric Garner, that was on video. We know that he wasn't resisting. We know that he didn't have a weapon. We know that whole story. We see him get choked out.
And, for selling loose cigarettes on the street.
Right. So, you know,
a hardened criminal.
You know, it's not the NYPD. We are in South Carolina, and maybe this will be treated differently down there. Maybe they'll, you know, put some restraint on the whole law enforcement system down there, because that's what's needed. And I think that's the point. That's the whole point with all this. And I go on about this so much on the show and in private talking with other people. It's not the case that people are getting killed, which it is, really, because that shouldn't be happening at all. But we're not seeing protesters out in the streets by the thousands all around the country because there's people getting killed. We're seeing protesters in the streets because the people that are doing the killing are getting away with the murders, basically. No one's being held accountable. And that's where the huge problem lies, is because they're saying there's two class of citizens. There's the people that wear a badge, and there's everybody else.
That's right.
And we can film you kill somebody. And guess what? Well, they went to 6 months of training, so, you know, they can do that. And that's what's really terrifying, and that's what I think scares people the most, because if we were in a system where there was just some, you know, deranged cop that was just trigger happy and kill somebody, and then he goes to jail for it, first off, that's going to deter the next guy to pull out his weapon. And second off, at least, you know, through that tragedy, people say, well, at least justice still rings true, and, you know, we're all treated fairly. But that's not what we're getting.
Absolutely.
It's not all men are created equal. It's I wear a blue uniform, so if I happen to kill you, chances are I'm going to get away with it. And that's what's so terrifying for people. You know, I don't believe these protests are about one certain case, or, you know, it's not about Freddie Gray particularly or Michael Brown. It's about their children and their families. You know, that's what the protesters are out there for. It is to honor the people that have been killed, but it's the protesters are coming out their front door and marching down the streets because they don't want their child to be the next victim.
But let's stop for a second. What's going to happen when the protests don't work? Let's talk about something really quick, what's going on in the city of Cleveland right now in the case of 12-year-old Tamir Rice. This is fascinating, and I absolutely love this. City leaders from the city of Cleveland, where Tamir Rice was murdered, in a city park, playing with a toy gun, a kid playing with a toy gun. We all did it. You did it when you were a kid. I did it when I was a kid. Well, police received a report of a man with a gun on the scene, no warning whatsoever. Within seconds, they immediately shoot him dead. Well, the city leaders have gotten together. They've looked through Ohio state law, and they found something very interesting. In 1960, a law was passed in Ohio that allows citizens that are knowledgeable of the facts of a crime to seek an arrest and criminal charges, bypassing prosecutors. The prosecutors have already cleared, as we've seen so many times before, the police officers of any wrongdoing. That is huge. That is, I mean, that goes beyond any kind of protest. Now, we'll see if anything comes of it, because now it's thrown back into the wheels of the justice system. The court may go ahead and side with the prosecutors again and say, there's not really much we can do it. But it has now effectively reopened the case.
Right.
That's huge right there, because that's a case that really does need to be reopened. We're not talking about a hardened criminal. We're not talking about a child with a possible shady past, such as we saw in the Michael Brown situation and all the mud that got swung there.
Right.
We're not talking about a kid in the case of Derek Cruz, a kid selling pot. And again, I'm still not justifying what happened in those cases. Those police officers, in every single case I just mentioned, murdered those citizens, regardless of whatever they had going on. Just as in the case with Walter Scott. Walter Scott did have a warrant for his arrest. He had had some unpaid child support. Reports have later shown that he was working overtime to try to get those payments caught up.
Right. Basically, what you're saying is, by the definition of the law, these people were in positions to be confronted by police officers Well, doesn't mean they
at least to have the interaction,
right,
and possible detainment, you know, or you know, some sort of interaction with the police. You know, this was a 12-year-old kid playing in a city park, doing what 12-year-old boys do: play guns, pretend they're, you know, playing cops and robbers, playing military, all of the other little gun games that kids play. You know, I'm very, very excited about this because we're seeing citizens are really starting to get fed up with this. The protest, unfortunately, and I'm not deterring anybody from going out and protesting at all. A lot of good things have happened due to protests in this country.
Yeah,
sitting here in Birmingham, Alabama.
Do you believe, without all the protests that have gone on surrounding these multiple cases, do you think that Slager would be facing 25 to life now?
Absolutely not. Without these protests, without people standing up and making their voices heard, again, we're the ones that employ these murderous police officers. Our money, our taxpayer money, employs these people. And how is our money, the money that comes from the sweat of our brow, suddenly giving these people, that these police officers, that kind of authority over us?
Right.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing to me. And we're talking about the authority over normal law-abiding citizens that, you know, are just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or happen to be, in Walter Scott's case, driving down the road with a broken taillight.
Yeah.
And
Here's here's something I think is something that's a great example that demonstrates what we have been saying here is what just happened in Texas, okay, in the pool party. As we said earlier, there were 12 police officers there.
11 of them were doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Has anybody heard anybody say, well, why were the cops there to begin with? There's never been complaints about that. You hadn't heard about these other 11 police officers. You hadn't heard not a word about any of that. You heard about a guy that slammed this girl to the ground and pulled his gun out on
former
these kids.
Officer barrel roll.
Exactly.
That we're talking about, yeah.
And he goes in there like he's Chuck Norris or Rambo. That's the problem. That's what, you know, people are like, well, you're just cop haters. You're against cops. No, nobody, I haven't heard anybody say anything about the other cops.
There are thousands upon thousands of good law enforcement officers.
The scary part,
doing what they're supposed to be doing.
The scary part, though, is with those officers, is their silence sometimes.
Absolutely.
And that's what scares me. Even if they're not choke slamming kids through the ground, there's silence. It's, you know, did you do it? No, but, you know, I know this.
And it's making their jobs harder for them by keeping
of
silent about
it is.
This.
Of course it is.
It's putting their lives and their families' lives in jeopardy.
It's, and how many, you know, if I was a cop, I'm telling you, I would be on the front line saying, wait a second, this is not how I want to be represented. You people do not need to get the impression that this is how all cops are. But that doesn't happen. And so because that doesn't happen, they're guilty by association.
Absolutely.
And that's how it is perceived in the minds of the public. Because you don't have – if you had police officers come out of the woodworks being like, screw that guy, screw what he did, you know, that's not us, and we're going to treat people with respect, you know, I think people would be – more prone to be like, okay, you know, it was what it was. But when they're silent and cops are getting away with this stuff, people start resenting the entire system completely.
Well, and again, that does make them guilty by association to see these wrong things happening, to see these issues being swept under the rugs and remaining silent. That does make them just as bit as guilty. I'm sorry, it does. And now, let me go ahead and put this in perspective for you. Let's say that you and I are riding in a car one day. And I tell you, hey, let's stop this convenience store. I run to the convenience store and rob it, get in there with a sack full of money. You see the sack full of money. Where'd you get all that money from? Oh, man, just drive. You knew that I did wrong. So the police pull both of us over. What does that make you? That makes you an accomplice. Regardless of whether you knew I was going to go rob that store or not, you knew I did something wrong. And when we get pulled over, you kind of remain quiet. It's like, oh, yeah, I knew he robbed that store and this, that, and the other. Or just simply by you not pulling the car over at that point, say, hey, you need to get out of my car with all that crap. Mm-hmm. And you just keep on driving. That makes you an accomplice.
That's it.
And that's exactly what we're talking about.
It is. It absolutely is. You know, I don't know. We're dealing with so many of these cases. We'll see if we're coming to a point where we're going to start seeing justice with some of this stuff. I know, as long as, you know, there are people like Sean Hannity, and, you know, he's got the biggest microphone, so he's the loudest, but there are a lot of people like him that are just, that just justify the whole thing. I mean, I truly believe the way he carries on, if he was in the 30s and the 40s in Germany, he would just be like, well, those people should have listened.
Yeah.
I don't understand. They were just doing their job. That's how he comes across.
We told all the dirty Jews to leave our country.
That's how he comes across. That's how he comes across.
Absolutely.
And it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And I just... And he's sitting here, and they're talking to D-Ray tonight. If anybody doesn't know, big activist, big around Ferguson, a huge on Twitter. And they start yelling at him, but you're getting paid to protest. Kevin Jackson and Sean Hannity were just yelling at him, but you're getting paid, but you're getting paid, but you're getting paid.
But
because Sean Hannity does what he does for free.
Oh, absolutely. Out of the kindness and goodness of his own
heart.
Yeah,
just because he cares.
Yeah, just because he cares.
That's it.
Yeah.
Kevin Jackson just does what he does for free. They just do it for free. They're not getting paid.
I hope Sean Hannity's getting paid, because how else are you going to get that much hairspray for free? I'm just saying. That's a lot of hairspray.
That is a helmet on top of his head. Oh, helmet skull over there. Okay. Going to change the topic a little bit. This hadn't really hit the news too hard. I think it's a big story. It could definitely develop into more. We were discussing a little bit earlier before we went on the show. Iraq troops.
Yeah, we're sending more troops to Iraq there. Now, bear in mind, this is coming from the same president in 2008 when he got elected. One of his campaign promises, we're going to pull all the troops out of the Middle East. But it's funny how many troops keep filtering right back over into Afghanistan, Iraq. And
well,
here's the interesting thing, though. It's only 500 troops. Now, you even said that. Well, it's only 500 troops. But what are these troops there to do?
Exactly. Exactly. You're dead right. I tell you what. Let's go ahead. I'm going to jump and grab a call real quick before we get into this. Area code 917, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
My name is Travis. I'm calling from the Bronx.
What's up, Travis?
How you doing tonight, Travis?
I'm all right. Glad to finally get you guys.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling in. What would you like to talk about?
I'm a listening and chime in as you guys go along, man. Program's awesome.
All right, cool, man. Thanks. So, yeah, as you were saying about Iraq here, they're over there training. First off, let's give Obama his great credit. You know, he pulled the troops out. But what he did was he erased what they were called, and he wrote in the word advisors. That's the thing everybody's missing about what's happened over in the Middle East. We pulled all the troops out. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of advisors over there.
Yeah.
That, you know, are pretty much the same people, but they're advisors now.
Yeah, what they're advising, basically, just to kind of clue everybody in, is they're advisors and trainers to help the Iraqi forces combat ISIS. But, you know, wait a minute, how did ISIS get started?
We didn't train them, did we?
We didn't advise them, did we?
They weren't Syrian rebels. They weren't trying to train somebody to overthrow Assad, you know.
So we're training, wait a minute, let me get this straight now. So we're training yet one more different faction, the Iraqi security forces now, to combat ISIS, the other people that we trained. And ISIS sprung up. ISIS was where did that all come from?
Did that
help me, SM. Oh, man, my memory's
short. Did that originate because of circumstances of us going into Iraq?
Wait a minute, I think you're right. It's the vicious cycle over and over and over and over again. It's whack-a-mole over there.
Oh, that's all crazy conspiracy.
Conspiracy thoughts.
That's
yeah,
conspiracy.
That's all
nonsense.
Crazy conspiracy nonsense.
You're telling me. So wait, you're telling me that Assad was quote unquote using cluster bombs. Meanwhile, while we're
No, cluster bombs are illegal. You can't use those over there.
But so wait. But it, no, that's not true because we sold or
you mean we manufacture cluster bombs?
We sold a bunch to Saudi Arabia
This is conspiracy talk. I got to rein you in right now. This is crazy talk.
So, but,
and it's all documented. That's what really pisses me off more than anything else is hearing this chitter chatter about, oh, that's just conspiracy talk. That's crazy talk. Because nobody wants to wake up to the truth that it's in bold, black and white information that is available to the whole entire United States public that you're not going to see on Fox News, that you're not going to see on CNN, that you're not going to see on MSNBC, that you're not going to see on the local national broadcast 5, 6:30, whatever they air now.
And here's the thing that's funny too. Look, this is how, and this is something people don't really, I guess, know the history of completely. When the word conspiracy really kind of started being thrown around a lot was actually during Nixon, and they were using it because of all the rumors of Watergate and you know, Spiro Agnew got.
Well, that was a conspiracy,
out.
Right?
That's how
he's
they were.
He's not a crook.
That's how they were arguing. That's how they were trying to combat what was going on. Oh, this is just some conspiracy. I mean, look at, okay, the Anthony Weiner situation, okay? It's a lot less. It's just, you know, it's, you know.
Weiner, no, it's not. It's not pronounced Weiner, even though it's spelled Weiner.
That's what we're going to call him.
He's a Weiner, yeah.
So they come out, and the official thing, right when it happens, Andrew Breitbart, it's just a right-wing conspiracy. They're making fun of my name. It's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
And that's a word they use to combat the truth. And it's terrifying that I don't know if it's that people don't believe it or they don't want to believe it or they don't want to publicly recognize it because as soon as you say it's a conspiracy and you say you believe in it, oh, he's going to look at me funny. He's going to think I'm crazy. So that's how they combat everything now. Because it's basically like public shaming. They use that word as public shaming because you could have all the facts in the world. Let's talk about ISIS in Syria, and they wanted to get rid of Assad, and we know they're being funded through the Syrian rebels. John McCain is going on and on about how he's intimate with them, and there's pictures of him with these people. But, you know, you suggest this, and that's conspiracy. Oh, well, I don't want that guy to look at me funny or think I'm crazy, so I'm not going to say that out loud. And that's how they keep getting away with this stuff. And people need to take a stand and be leaders and, you know, not fall for the confusion and not, you know, have a finger come down at you and say, hey, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're a conspiracy theorist. But it's like, let's go back to Nixon. It's like, well, guess what? Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. You thought they, you know, you thought Nixon lied. You thought they broke into the hotel. Well, guess what? It happened.
Yeah, it did.
So if that's our first major case of conspiracy theory that they tried to use to say this and that and the other, well, how'd that work out? That should give people some encouragement to say, yeah, maybe it is. That doesn't mean it's not true.
Absolutely. Travis, what is your take on all this? You still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm actually kind of confused as to exactly what you guys are talking about.
Just talking about how the media comes at people using conspiracy as their argument.
Oh, conspiracy.
Yes.
It's the in thing to use.
Exactly.
is what it is. All it is I mean, for years and years now, they've been taking, you know, certain political terms drawn up by the people and using it against them. Now you throw out the word conspiracy, and whatever individual subject you're talking about becomes irrelevant to a major group of people.
That's
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So they're just creating bias by using the term conspiracy when, at this point, conspiracy means fact a lot of the time.
Yeah, and
but
that's
they just. they just turned it around, which is what they're famous for.
Yeah, it's Orwellian. It's 1984. We're living in it, you know.
Oh, definitely.
And speaking of conspiracy, here's another big one. So the Pentagon can't find $8.5
trillion. $8.5
trillion.
Yeah. That's with a T. So a T, the $1 trillion
account where this money went.
So not just $1 trillion, $8 trillion. Can you even fathom how much money that is?
Hey, in their defense, it took them 19 years to lose $8.5 trillion.
Okay. I mean, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to spend. Jeez. I don't think I could live for 400 years and never spend $1 trillion.
Exactly.
$8.5 trillion gone. I don't know where it went.
And what's even so scary?
Maybe it went to ISIS.
That's conspiracy. That's conspiracy.
Now that is a conspiracy.
Well, some of it was used to remodel the Pentagon back in 2001 too.
Well, and Iraq as well. They built that country. That's working out.
And tore it right back down. Yeah.
Hey, they were nation building. Yeah. They've got a great glory society over there in Iraq.
Oh, another conspiracy. We're getting out of bounds here now. Come on. Yeah. But bold black and white.
Yeah.
Bold black and white facts.
So the scary part is that all these federal agencies, and beginning in 96, were supposed to have audits, blah, 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 blah. You know, 19 years later, has the Pentagon ever gone along with this? Nah, they haven't. They just do what they want. And I know there's been a few politicians that have presented bills to say audit the Pentagon. But yeah, what's happened? No, it's like audit the Federal Reserve. We can't do that. That's going to hurt our national security. It's like, are you serious? Like, transparency is going to hurt our national security?
Yeah.
Edward Snowden did. America crumbled because he told us all the truth.
Yeah, but you watch. You go get audited by the IRS and see what happens. Yeah.
Right.
It better be pretty well damn transparent to them. Otherwise, you're going to sit your ass in a prison cell.
Yeah, but we don't need to know what they're doing with our money.
And that's over like $8,500 over to the IRS. We're talking about $8.5 trillion. Y'all sit and think about that number. Get a calculator out and type in and look how many zeros it takes to make $8.5 trillion.
And here's what, is this not, like, does this not ring, just the bells going off in everybody's head? The IRS and the U.S. government need to know what happened to the money you earned at your job.
Yeah,
if they ask to see the money you earned and how you spent it and this, that, and the other, you better show them, or you could go to jail.
And you just touched upon
your money, and they need access to see how you spent your money because they need to take a part of that. On the flip side, they spend our money,
That $8.5 trillion didn't belong to the Pentagon to begin with. It came out of our pockets. Our pockets entrusted our government to do the right thing with, and they lose it.
Right.
They lost it. Yeah, just gone.
No transparency when it's, you know.
How the hell do
they
lose that much
money? Once they get access of our money, there's no transparency. But when we still got it, there's full access because they'll come arrest you.
I would have loved to have been the hobo standing outside the Pentagon that found that sack full of $8.5 trillion. Somebody's having a grand old time with that right now,
I'm sure he was related to Dick Cheney somehow.
I'm sure it was. Good old Dick.
So, what do we do to hold the Pentagon? Like, how do you hold the Pentagon accountable for something like this?
Oh, I got cell-powered laser drones now.
Exactly. That's the thing. Yeah. What are you going to do to them?
That's not even included in the $8.5 trillion that
they're going to fly a drone over your house.
Different money bought the laser drones. Come on.
Right. So,
well, that's a conspiracy theory too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Laser drones.
What's so funny that's about real. That is, you know, the whole drone thing was a conspiracy theory. And then, you know, Rand Paul did his deal, and it's like all of a sudden it's out in the public eye.
And next
like,
thing you know, you're looking outside and seeing drones flying
right.
Everywhere.
And the same with Snowden. Nobody's listening to anything. Nobody's collecting any data. You're all crazy. A bunch of conspiracy theorists. Just get over it. It's not happening. Edward Snowden has all these documents. Well, maybe we were a little bit. But it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Freedom Act.
Oh, yeah.
Freedom.
But now you can see the power of media manipulation, though, because
although all of these things were once conspiracy theories and they've now been proven as fact, people still have the same context gain the same context whenever the media uses conspiracy. It's amazing. They were never truth to begin with. Even when they are truth, they're still looking at it like the same way it was before it actually became fact.
That's absolutely true. And here's an example of something that actually happened. When it happened, I said, oh, that's BS. That did not go down that way. And it was the whole Benghazi thing. Now, I don't know exactly how that went down, but I know when they were shoving the YouTube video down everybody's throat, the first month or whatever it was, I was like, there's no way. That didn't happen. That's bogus. Bogus.
Right.
But, you know, and it turns out, oh, it had nothing to do with the YouTube video. But people bought it hook, line, and sinker. When I said it has nothing to do with that video, people make excuses. Well, you know there's crazy people out there. You know people would get mad about
conspiracy.
Something. Right,
yeah,
conspiracy. That's what it is all the time. But we're going to sit here and jump to another call. Thank you so much for calling in tonight, Travis.
Thanks, Travis.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Area code 956, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hi, my name is Jay. I'm calling from South Texas.
Jay, how you doing tonight?
Doing great. How about you?
Doing good. What would you like to talk about?
I don't know. I follow your channel on Facebook, and I saw you guys calling. I'm kind of bored.
Yeah, good, man. What's your thoughts on the state of the world right now, the United States?
I think the industries need to fall, man. Like, there's too much bureaucracy, too much, there's too much privatization.
Yeah, like, so what do you think right now is the most important issue that we're facing? How do you think we can address this, and what needs to be addressed first, in your opinion?
Okay, my opinion, I think...
Oh, you got
chips all the way out. What? No? Oh, sorry, man.
I hear a girl talking. Who's that now? Come on now. Show your friends.
Yeah, I know. She's chilling with me, a friend.
But you say she's just a friend? Yeah.
No, she's not just a friend.
I got you.
She's more than that. But I think one way we can fix a lot of our problems is by... taking some of the power away from Congress and stuff, like they're just raking it in from lobbyists, they're just making money for them. But they're not really, like, looking out for us.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these people, they're so beholden to the corporations, and, we talk about this all the time, so much of what we talk about, Shane, I feel like I'm a broken record because we talk about... it's these corporations, and they're beholden to this corporation, the banks.
I saw a statistic the other day, and I can't remember if I brought this up last episode or not, but there is a statistic floating around right now, and you can go and investigate this yourself. If you make $50,000 in a salary, let's just say. $50,000 a year, and you pay your taxes, all right? Mm-hmm. Out of the money that you pay in your taxes, which roughly, I think a single individual with no dependents is going to pay roughly around 20%. And, of course, that's to the federal government that goes into your Medicare, Social Security, so on and so forth. So roughly anywhere from 10 to 15% goes to the Federal Reserve. Let's say out of all of that money, and we hear this argument all the time, I'm sick of propping up these poor people. I'm sick of these people on welfare and these people that get free housing, people getting food stamps and this, that, and the other. You break that number down, you know who actually gets most of the money that you give to your taxes? $4,000 on $50,000, $50,000 salary that the taxes glean from that. $4,000 goes to corporate subsidies in the United States. Think about that number for half a second.
Yeah, they're just putting it aside for them.
That's sick. That is the rich. That is the wealthy in this country. Gets $4,000 of your tax dollars every year.
People at Halliburton got to feed their kids.
Yeah. Feed them well.
It's like
feed
the steaks, lamb.
fava beans with a nice Chianti?
I tell you, that kind of leads me into something that happened just the past couple of days. I think it's hilarious. You remember Robert Gibbs, he's now the former White House press secretary. He has been hired by a company.
Which company?
As their executive vice president and global communications chief. The former. He's been hired by McDonald's.
Whoa.
The former White House press secretary is now a vice president at McDonald's.
Wow. How much money are they worth?
More than a couple of dollars.
Yeah.
And something tells me he's not going to be getting paid minimum wage doing that.
No, he'll be getting more than 15 an hour. You can bet your ass on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's so scary is, you know, people talk about, you know, McDonald's this, McDonald's that. When you're a company so powerful that you're hiring the ex-press secretary to the White House, mm-hmm. that says a lot about who you are as a company. And what are you doing?
What influence
do you actually have behind the scenes?
And that's not Leaping Lanny Poffo. That's Hulk Hogan, baby. That's star power.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. We have seen over the past year or so with stuff like March Against Monsanto and, you know, the entire, not even just that, but the push for organic foods and healthier foods. We have seen McDonald's, their stock's gone down.
Way down.
Yeah, the same with Monsanto. We're going to go ahead and jump into area code 205. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
It's Chase, man. How are you?
Doing good, Chase. How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing real good. Just listening in, man. Hey, there is one thing I do want to point out with what Shannon was saying about our the taxes and all that stuff. There is a good chunk of our money not only going to a lot of the big like corporations and stuff like that, but I mean the politicians they're collecting a pretty penny from our tax money too. George Bush, they said after George Bush left office, he has collected nearly $2 million. I think it was $1.6 million. Between $1.6 million and $2 million is what he has collected post-presidency so far.
And that is a mere drop in the bucket from all of the, you know, and of course he also gets, as a former president, he gets his
right.
Secret Service detail. He gets
exactly.
His little office expense, you know, I can't remember how much that is. You know, he gets his library. I'm sure there's a statue of that man somewhere that birds are crapping.
First off, y'all act like huge giant farms in Crawford, Texas run themselves. This man would be destitute.
He's a farmer.
He needs that money.
Yeah, oil fields.
Yeah, poor old George W.
Texas T.
Oh, yeah.
He used to own a baseball team. Can you believe that? I mean, that's still, out of all the former presidents, he used to own a baseball team.
We would
team.
Be a lot.
You know the money that you have to outright own a baseball team?
He wasn't
team?
The sole owner. Of
well,
the team.
Okay, but, you know.
Either way, you know how much better the world would be if George W. had stayed with the Texas Rangers?
Wow.
Instead of
I don't know if the Texas
the
Rangers
would
have been any better, but, you know.
Well, they could have.
Did have Nolan Ryan. That's
listen,
important now. You ain't going to mess with Nolan Ryan.
Look, I saw some of those bombs drop in Iraq that Bush was behind. They could have been hitting bombs over that fence. So they could have been a great team.
Yeah,
who knows?
This is true.
You know, Halliburton probably wouldn't have made as much money off of it. But.
Yeah, but, I mean, let's be clear on this. George Bush was one of the biggest idiots of a president. It was the dark power, the actual power behind the throne, Mr. The dick we were just talking about a little while ago. Man, you want to talk about an evil, evil man. God gracious. And, you know, I still can't stress this enough. He had no heartbeat for over 100 days. You know how creepy that is?
We've got 15 minutes left, and I have to get to the story because you're talking about some evil, creepy
oh,
people.
Oh, man, yeah. This is we stumbled upon something really strange tonight.
John Henry Hagman. He has a company called Deployment Medicine International. It has received over the years $10.5 million from
of federal, our money.
Of our tax money, by the way, from the federal government. It's a company based out of Virginia. He's based out of Virginia. And Shannon, why don't you enlighten us with some of these man's wonderful medical breakthroughs, I guess we should call them.
Well, let's give you some background first. Former doctor, John Henry Hagman, he worked for the military, the United States Army, up until 2000, and then formed this company, which basically is training doctors to work with, in field medicine and experiments with field medicine. I'm just trying to figure out exactly where to really begin in this story. It's really strange. Because it's bizarre. I mean, when we read this, we were just like in total disbelief that $10.5 million of our taxpayer money went to this.
Okay, that's real quick.
It started off. Well, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. The story's so crazy. Like, it's nuts to me. So he got in trouble for basically torturing pigs.
PETA got involved and really hammered down on him. He was basically wounding pigs and then performing all of these different experiments that were supposed to be, simulated field combat wounds on these pigs. Well, PETA came down on him, rightly so. That's absolutely just deplorable. So he did him one better. He started performing these experiments on his students. And this is how he did it.
The medicine, though, okay, he introduced new types of medicine.
Medicine.
Which is definitely medicine. He would buy them beer and get them drunk.
And liquor.
And, well, you know, you got to keep it classy.
And ketamine. Yeah, it's going to get weird, y'all. Y'all hang on to your hats. It's fixing to get, like, detainee torture weird.
So, basically, at which point, he started experimenting with different, I guess, experiments using techniques of masturbation and numbing patients' penises. And
bragged about his proficiency with rectal exams.
Yeah, and he bragged about this to people, and he was, gropey and kind of rapey. Again, $10.5 million was paid to this man from the federal government over the years.
To put students in a K-hole and do penile experiments on them, which is exactly what he did. One of them was, he would have one student would be in a K-hole or messed up on K-hole is basically a street term for being under the influence of ketamine, it's kind of almost like GHB. I mean, you're pretty much rendered useless once you start taking that stuff. And would have other students perform experiments on the kid that was in a K-hole or drunk on liquor, whatever the case may be. And some of the experiments involved, penile nerve blocks, which is kind of like, kind of an anesthesia on your penis. Asked one student, after he got him drunk, to wanted to examine, manipulate, and photograph his penis for science. He would have these shock labs, which he would withdraw blood from a student that was messed up and wait for them to go into shock and then readminister the blood that he just took out in there.
$10.5 million from the federal government to this man.
Shoving penile catheters in these students. And again, we're not talking about, willing participants. We're talking about intoxicated students that he intoxicated and then would have his other students perform these procedures on him.
He gave them ketamine and beer, which sounds like a good host. Yeah. Wasn't that the old the Dave Chappelle joke? That's just a good host.
Yeah. Conspiracy, y'all.
Oh, my
Conspiracy.
Goodness. This is a man that your taxpayer money went to. He sits... Just recently had his license, his medical license, suspended by the state of Virginia. But that's after... he also did these experiments. He had students do these experiments on himself. So he was obviously, clearly, I guess, getting off on whatever's going on. I mean, it's pretty obvious he was insane.
And this is the proof that he is insane, because, you know, he's told reporters that the medications were all dispensed properly. Yeah. You know, I mean,
he said this is what we do in Virginia. He goes, I didn't do anything wrong.
You know, they're all these procedures that were performed were perfectly acceptable, perfectly normal medical procedures.
Oh my gosh. Area code 413. Welcome to Anti Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Yeah, okay. Maybe not.
All right. Area code 519. Welcome to Anti Media Radio. Tell us your name and what you'd like to talk about tonight.
You're the fucking idiots.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
The call of the night,
it
man.
Really
that was
is.
Awesome.
Area code 570. Welcome to Anti Media Radio. Tell us your name and what you'd like to talk about tonight.
My name is Sean. I'm from Pennsylvania. And, I just wanted to talk about the main issue in the world, being the Jesuits and the 13 Illuminati bloodlines, and basically we're at the bottom of the pyramid. And I want to talk from a biblical perspective, because in Revelation 3 it says, "I beheld all those who say they are Jews, but they are not. I will make them fall down at your feet and know that I have loved you." Jesus says that he is going to make the synagogue of Satan, which is the Jesuit order and the Illuminati bloodlines, he says he's going to make them bow down at our feet and worship us on the day of judgment. And, I want to say that the New World Order, all of that is predicted in the book of Revelations, the book of Daniel, and people need to get right with Jesus. You know, you can get all the knowledge of the New World Order and everything that's going on, and really it's useless. People need to get their faith in the Bible and learn and get an intimate relationship with God, because all of this stuff that's coming to fruition is predicted in the Bible. And I believe that the microchip is the mark of the beast, the RFID microchip implant, because if you type in www on a computer in Hebrew, in Jesus Christ's native tongue, that is 6. You're really typing in 666. So when they implant everybody with those microchips that are in animals right now, really, it's the number of a man, and his number is 6, 3, 4, and 6, just like the Bible says. And people need to open their eyes and realize that we are in the end of days, and the only thing that is gonna save us from this New World Order, from the Illuminati and all this Bilderberg and all this bullcrap going on is Jesus Christ. Wow. And he comes back to stop it all. Because if you look into the numerical code in Hebrew, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, means the hand that destroys the establishment of the eye. That's what his name means in the Hebrew numerical code. And what does the Illuminati use as their name symbol? The all-seeing eye. Yeshua HaMashiach means the hand that destroys the establishment of the eye. People need to realize that there is a God, and Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, and he came to set us free from this Luciferian matrix that we live in. And that's just what I wanted to say. And I just want to say God bless everybody and keep on fighting against the New World Order, because we are the resistance.
Thank you so much, man. God bless you. Thanks so much for the call.
All right. Bye-bye.
So we got just a couple of minutes left here. And, you know,
I think the caller before him was probably the most accurate call we've received ever on the show.
Just two words.
We are fucking idiots. We are two absolute complete idiots.
Oh, yeah. There's
Unfortunately, we're armed with too much information not to talk about it. All of these crazy conspiracies, all of this stuff that we're just picking out of thin air. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I am a fucking idiot. There's no two ways around about it. But I know, and I've seen the truth in front of my eyes. The truth and the police officers that are killing citizens left and right. The politicians that are being paid by corporate America left and right that are completely trampled over the job that they're supposed to be doing. Yeah, all these crazy conspiracies that we keep talking about on the show day in and day out. Everybody, don't take our words for it because we are fucking idiots. We are. But at the same time, all I'm going to do is tell you about it. I want everybody to get online, go check it out, double check, triple check, do your fact checking and your research just like we've had to do every single time we sit down and do this show. I really wish all of this stuff was a conspiracy. I wish none of this were true. Unfortunately, we have all turned a blind eye for far, far, far too long. Far too long. And it's now built up to this. We've got to take a stand now. Start loving one another. That's the quickest way we can start all this.
I mean, that's it. You know, everybody needs to get over whatever chip they've got on your shoulder. And it comes from every side. It comes from every angle. You know, the media is doing it. The politicians are doing it. There's activists that do it. There's everybody. It's human nature, okay? It's human nature. What everybody needs to do is treat everybody fairly and come at people with love. And open your eyes. You know, stop being so completely, automatically dismissive and judgmental towards everything that you hear. Do your own research. Don't take what I say as fact. Do your own research. Look into this for yourself with an open heart and with an open mind and use discernment. And see if these statistics don't trouble you. When we're talking about 502 Americans that have been killed by police officers this year, and then the reverse of that is 54 officers have died in the line of duty, and their stats include, to make the stats seem worse than they are, and they have died in the line of duty, but 16 automobile accidents and 11 heart attacks. Okay, so that makes the numbers jump up. But we're talking 502 people killed by cops. That 502 doesn't include people that's just fallen over with heart attacks.
Absolutely. There are people that died of a heart attack when the police burst in on them. But I'm going to go ahead and caution y'all. When you go and check your statistics, don't cut the TV on. You're not going to find anything that we're talking about in great detail there. Sure, you'll catch a couple taglines and headlines and, you know, a little pontification here, there, this, that, and the other. Get online and do complete research. Go to a library for a change. When's the last time people have been to a library? Go check your history. Check your facts. Before people start coming up here and saying, oh, this is a conspiracy, this, that, and the other. Okay, well, why is it a conspiracy? Because anything that you're going to say, if we're going to talk about on this show, we're going to give you whatever information we got, and then you can take the ball and run with it and research it even further. Come at me and tell me exactly why I'm wrong. Give me some statistics. Give me some statistics that are other than the 502 people that have been killed by police officers this year. Now, bear in mind, that number is a bit skewed. I don't want that to be – I don't want to be that –
Because
that
we don't have – that is the best.
There are people on that list that had a gun pointed at a police officer.
Right.
That put a police officer's life in jeopardy. And you know, some of those people on those lists, I'm sorry, but, I mean, you kind of put yourself in that position. You're gonna get what you're getting.
Right. But we also have on the flip side.
But then we have
that,
Tamir Rice. Then we have Eric Garner. Then we have Mike Brown. Whatever you want to believe about who Mike Brown was or this, that, and the other, still an unarmed citizen that got killed by the police.
Right. And that's what we're living in is you get somebody that just gets angry and they act out of emotion and they're just like, well, that's you because I disagree with you. It's like, okay, so what information do you have? Anyways, we run out of time for tonight. Join Nick tomorrow night at the exact same time.
He's not an idiot.
And we will be back on Thursday, Anti-Media Radio. This is SM Gibson. Thank you so much.
Peace out. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.